Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning. I hope things are going well for you and yours. We're getting ready for the cold to hit. I think it's coming to Texarkana on Sunday evening or Monday, but it's around, going around the country for sure, and we're getting ready for that. The golf courses in Texarkana have announced they're putting covers on the greens, and so to make sure that the greens don't freeze, and so we're getting ready for cold weather. You know, I came from Houston to Texarkana almost 21. We're right at 21 years ago, and Houston sees some cold weather, but not a whole lot. And the temperatures are a little colder here in Texarkana, but we are ready to go. And Debbie has been ripping through the firewood, and it's always nice to have a fire. Well, I want to talk to you today about what you can do to make a difference in your life, your family, your community, your church, your state, and your nation. You know, we watch the news and we stay abreast of what's going on. American Family Association, American Family Radio is so good about letting us know what is in the news. And we're election 2024, the debate last night, and then Donald Trump had the town hall, and we keep up with that. Israel, Hamas, they're still at war, and we're keeping up with that. What's going on in the southern border? It's just mind-blowing, but keeping up with that, that is going to have consequences, no doubt. And we're going to see, I mentioned last night in my message, you can't just open up the floodgates and have all these people coming into your country that you don't know who they are. You know, the left wants to always say, oh, I saw a video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just weeping over the people coming in from the southern border and how we're not just welcoming these people with open arms. Do you have some people that have legitimate issues and we need to welcome with open arms? Sure. But do you have some people that are unsavory characters that want to do harm? Of course. And so it's just very unwise to just have an open southern border. Obviously, the people that are advocating for open borders, they live behind locked gates. And so go figure. Transgenderism is a big issue in our world today, as we are placating the lies and the fantasies of those who say, just totally disconnected from science, from truth, from reality. Hey, you can be whomever you want to be. No, you can't. God decides who you are, and they're taking drugs and having surgeries and destroying people's lives. Abortion, obviously, a huge issue. Woke ideology seeping into the schools and even into the churches. Liberalism coming, apostasy coming in the churches, all sorts of things. And you say, well, what in the world can I do about all these things? Well, you can pray. And obviously, we talk a lot about prayer. God says, I looked for a man among them, Ezekiel 22, who would stand in the gap for the land and intercede for the land that I would not destroy it. And I found no one, he says. And we know 2 Chronicles 7:14, and if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You and I can do a lot, but here's what I want to talk to you about today, something that goes along with prayer that's often forgotten and discarded. We know about it, but we just kind of put it on the back burner. Oh, yeah, some people do that. It is the spiritual discipline of fasting. This is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about giving. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Hey, we don't live out our Christian life as a show so other people can see us. Oh, look how godly this person is. That's how the Pharisees had turned their relationship with God. It had become all external, all a religion. Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And so this is what they would do. Jesus said, "Hey, you guys give. When you give alms," they would sound a trumpet. And in the synagogues and in the streets, "Hey, look what I did. Everybody look at me." He said, they do that to be honored by men. He said, well, that's what they're going to get. They have their reward in full. Now, giving is important, but the attitude of your heart is critical. Then he talks about prayer. He says, when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Prayer is just a big show. He said, don't do it like that. And then he talks about fasting. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast. Now, let me ask you this question. When is the last time you fasted? Now, fasting, the word literally means to abstain from food. And it was practiced in the scripture by some heavy hitters. Moses fasted on the mountain. Daniel fasted. David fasted. Remember when the Lord told him through Nathan the prophet that the child that was born to Bathsheba was surely going to die? What did David do? David fasted before the Lord for that child. They asked him, why did you do that? And he said, well, because when the child was alive, I said, who knows, the Lord may be merciful. And so I fasted. Once he found out the child died, he got up and ate food. But he fasted for the child. Nehemiah fasted when he heard about the situation in Jerusalem. He fasted. Esther, a very famous fast in Esther chapter 4, when it was told to her, hey, the Jews are going to be exterminated, and you need to go before the king, Mordecai told her. And she said, well, I can't do that. I can't go before the king. He hasn't called for me, and if you just go before the king, you're going to be killed. And he said, do not think that you're going to escape just because you're in the palace. He said, who knows if you've not attained royalty for such a time as this, and if you don't step up, deliverance is going to come another way from another person, but you need to step up to the plate for such a time as this. It's your time to step up. And she said, I and my maidens will fast for 3 days, and you do the same. Obviously, they were fasting and praying. Elijah fasted, Paul fasted, Jesus fasted for 40 days. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you said, I'm gonna skip food for today, or for a meal, or for a couple meals, or for a couple of days? There have been men, Bill Bright fasted 40 days. Ronnie Floyd has fasted 40 days. Now, obviously, they're drinking juice and some other things. They're not just straight water or something like that. I don't think they did that. But fasting is denying the flesh so that you can focus on the spirit. Denying the physical to focus on the spiritual. You're not just fasting to not eat. It's always coupled with prayer. The reason why you're fasting is because you are praying and you're showing God you are serious. Fasting is like a turbocharger to prayer. Now, notice this, because most of us don't do this. Now, some do, but a lot of the time it's just kind of forgotten. And it's one of those things that's like, yeah, I read about that, but I don't ever do that, because we are so just enmeshed in the physical. Well, something to remember. Number one, the Lord expects us to fast. He doesn't command a fast, but he expects us to fast, because Jesus said, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. when you fast. He didn't say if you ever fast. He said when you fast. It was just commonplace for the people to fast. And so fasting is expected. Now, this is what the Lord says in Mark chapter 2. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to Jesus, "Why did John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast, but the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day." Now, Jesus was taken away. You know, he died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. He had appearances for a period of 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. They were watching him go up to heaven, and the angel came and said to the men, "Why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus whom you saw taken up for you will come again in like manner." And so they went to Jerusalem and they prayed. They were supposed to wait there for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit came on day 50. Well, the bridegroom was taken away, so then there was the time to fast. We live in the day where the bridegroom has been taken away. He's given us his Spirit. He's with us spiritually through the Holy Spirit, but Jesus physically is not with us, and so we are to fast. And it's important to do that. It's important to do that to turbocharge your prayers. We all have issues in life that are big issues, and we say, pray about that. How about fasting and praying about that? Now, let's be honest. It's difficult to fast. The difficulty is real. Because when we're talking about fasting with food, or how about this, fasting from technology, hey, I'm not going to pick up my phone for a weekend. I'm not going to look at the computer or my iPad for a weekend. I'm not going to go on social media. I'm fasting from that. I'm going to take the time that I used for that and spend that time seeking the Lord. Well, that's hard to do. That denies the flesh. And Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so fasting is a denial of self. Now, not everybody can fast very long from food because of health issues. And you don't just go into that willy-nilly and say, well, I'm gonna do that, and I'm going to fast for 3 days, and then throws your body chemistry off and your medications and, you know, lots of medicines you have to take with food. So that becomes a problem. But here's the thing for a lot of us. You know, food has become too much of an issue. We think about food. We watch cooking shows about food. We talk about food. We plan trips around food. You know, while we're eating lunch, we're talking about dinner. It's just food, food, food. It's just on our minds. Now, here's the wonderful thing. The Lord likes food. He likes food. He likes feasts. There's 7 feasts in Israel. You read about the life of Jesus. There's lots of times that he's around the table, and he's having wonderful dinners. He longed to be with his disciples for the Last Supper. He said, I've been looking forward to this. And so we don't live to eat, but we eat to live, but we enjoy being around the table. We enjoy a good meal. There's nothing wrong with that. But what there is a problem with is when food becomes just all consuming, and when the idea of fasting, doing without food for a meal, for 2 meals, for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, as Esther fasted for 3 days, man, how in the world could I do that? Well, you deny the physical to focus on the spiritual. The Lord says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about fasting today, something that is often forgotten in the Christian life, but it's an important discipline. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference in your life, my life, and in the world around us. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about fasting. When's the last time you fasted? When you fasted for even more than just a lunch. You know, we can miss lunch. I got so busy, I wasn't able to eat lunch. And that's not a real big sacrifice. Now, if you say, I'm going to go 3 days or a week I'm not eating lunch. I'm going to take the time. See, fasting always has to be connected to prayer. Fasting by itself doesn't really mean anything if it's not connected with prayer. So we pray and fast. We put those together, and that's like a booster to your prayer life. I have a book in my hands from Bill Bright, an older book, called The Transforming Power of Fasting and Prayer, Personal Accounts of Spiritual Renewal. Now, he was fasting and praying for revival to come to America back in the late 90s. He was hoping for a big revival in the year 2000. He's with the Lord now, and that big revival he prayed for didn't come quite the way that he had hoped and prayed. But hey, it's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. It's better to believe God for big things, even if God's will is something else. We just trust Him and we ask Him for big things because God is a big God. But this is a book just about the fact that if you want to draw near to God, if you want to make your life count for all it can count, then start incorporating fasting into your prayer life. Now, how did the Jews fast? I shared this with the church last night. So, for the Jews, a day started at 6 p.m., and they got that from the Old Testament. And there was evening and there was morning the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, evening and morning. And so they said, well, that's how a day works. And so they would begin their days at 6 p.m. You know, our day begins at 12:01 a.m. Well, their day began at 6 p.m. And so my pastor, when I was in college, Harold O'Chester, he would do a Jewish fast. So he would fast from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And the benefit of a Jewish fast in our world is that you never go a full waking day without eating. And so you fast up until, okay, so as soon as 6 o'clock in the evening hits, I'm not eating again till 6 o'clock the next day. And so you don't eat, or you eat an early dinner, and then you don't eat breakfast and you don't eat lunch, and you're taking those times to pray. Now, then you get to eat a meal after 6 o'clock that night. Now, the Lord expects us to fast when you fast, and the Lord examines us in our fast. He examines our hearts. So Jesus was talking about the hypocrites, and he was talking about in Matthew 6, well, how they gave and how they prayed to be seen of men. They gave and blew a trumpet. Can you imagine that? Hey, everybody, look at me. I put into the offering plate. I gave. Everybody clap for me. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. And they did the same thing with fasting. So he said, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do. Don't go around gloomy and sad. It says they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. They would kind of screw up their face and look like they're in agony, like they're having a bowel obstruction or something. And so people would say, "Well, what's wrong with you?" "Oh, nothing. I'm just fasting. You know, look how spiritual I am. Give me a spiritual gold star. Pat me on the back." And Jesus said, okay, if that's what you want, just to be seen of men, okay, that's what you got. You have your reward in full. If you're giving to be seen of men, okay, that's what you got. You have your reward in full. And here's the thing that was so evil about what they were doing. They were presenting to the people that if you serve God and seek God and seek Him with prayer and fasting, it's going to be painful. Serving God is not a joy. It's a drag. It's a pain. It's misery. That's what they were teaching the people. And the absolute opposite is true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as we serve the Lord, as we seek the Lord, as we call upon the Lord, as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. It's a joyful experience. It's not a miserable experience, but they were turning it into a miserable experience. And they did all that for the praise of men, to be noticed by men. So the Lord notices that. He looks at your motive. Why? You know, we look at the outward appearance, as it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God chose David. You know, Samuel the prophet, he thought David's brother, Eliab, the oldest brother, he thought he should be the king. Oh, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said, no, don't look on his outer appearance, the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so the Lord is looking deep into your heart, into my heart, and he's looking at motive. It's not just what you do, but why do you do what you do? That's why Martin Luther could say a dairy maid can milk cows to the glory of God. Because if she's doing it for the Lord and her heart is pure and she's saying, Lord, this is the assignment that I have been given. I want to do it for your glory. You get reward from that. Whether then you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, you can preach a sermon. That's a good thing. But if your heart's not right, it doesn't matter a bit. It doesn't count. For gold, silver, precious stone. It's just wood, hay, and straw. You can sing a song in church, and it can be a great song. But if your heart's not right, if you're not singing for the Lord's glory, you're doing it for your own glory, and you want everybody to tell you how great you are. Oh, look at me. Then the Lord says, okay, well, that's your reward in full. You're not getting a reward from me. Motive matters, not just what you do, but why you do what you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says this, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Why do you do what you do? Motive is critical. And then the Lord looks at the heart, and your heart has to be right with God. If your heart's not right with God, your fast means nothing. Listen to this this scathing rebuke from the Lord in Isaiah 58. This is what it says. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins, yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. This is what they say. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. So we fast and we pray, and in the fasting and in the praying and in the seeking God, we obviously turn from our wicked ways. That's what gets God's attention. Now, you remember the prophet Jonah. He was told to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were the enemies of Israel. They were the bad boys of the ancient Near East before Nebuchadnezzar took them out in the Battle of Carchemish 612, and then came to Jerusalem in 605. And so here we go. God is telling years and years before, obviously, the Battle of Carchemish, God is telling Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. And Jonah didn't want to go. And he went the opposite direction. We know the story, a big storm on the Mediterranean Sea. They threw him overboard at Jonah's request. God appoints a great fish, swallows Jonah. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 2, he gets right with God in the belly of the fish. He thought he was dying, and he was going to die. But God commanded the great fish, and he spit Jonah up on dry land. And then it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Great verse, Jonah 3:1, one of the greatest verses in all the Old Testament, because God is the God of second chances. And so Jonah does obey the Lord. He goes to Nineveh. It's an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. And he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He probably said more than that, but he said that for sure. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, or it says even before that, the people of Nineveh believed God. They called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. That's a symbol and a representation of suffering and humility and mourning. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger, so that we shall not perish. And when the Lord saw their deeds, that they had turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So what did they do? They humbled themselves before God. They fasted and prayed and turned from their sin. And they were spared their judgment because of that. Because God doesn't want to judge. God wants to save. And God wants us to respond to him. And when we respond to him in a way that shows God we are serious, then God responds to us in a way that only he can, to bring about our deliverance. So the Lord expects us to fast. When you fast, he examines us in our fast. You have to fast for the right reasons. And then he blesses us when we fast. He does a work in our hearts when we fast, because it shows, when your heart is right, fasting shows God that you're serious. The Lord does business with those who mean business. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel says, so I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now remember, sackcloth and ashes, a picture of humility before the Lord, a picture of mourning before the Lord. Lord, I need you desperately. I'm in a desperate situation. God does business with those who mean business. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And Daniel, one of the greatest men to have ever lived, he was fasting before the Lord. It shows that we're serious. It shows to the Lord that we want to draw near to him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And it brings God's power to bear in tough situations. Do you remember the situation after the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus showed his glory to Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah appeared on the mountain with Jesus? He started to shine like the sun as he pulled back the veil of his humanity and let those guys see his glory. And then the voice of the Father came, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. I mean, it was such an awesome, awesome, awesome experience that Peter, James, and John got to have. Well, when they came down off this mountain, then Jesus is hit with this, a man who has a demon-possessed son. He says to him, can you help us? I came to your disciples to cast out this demon that is affecting my son, and he's giving him seizures, and it throws him into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. They couldn't help. And Jesus said, oh, unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And then the disciples The other nine guys, not Peter, James, and John, because they were with Jesus on the mountain. The other guys, Lord, why couldn't we cast out the demon? Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said, well, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And then he says these words, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. As one commentator said, I love this, a determined foe needs to be met with a determined faith. Prayer and fasting. Hey, maybe you have been struggling with a sin that has been eating your lunch for years and years and years and years. Many guys I know struggling with lust and pornography, eating their lunch for years and years and years and years. Have you ever fasted about it? Have you ever fasted and prayed and sought the Lord in humility? Got some other guys together and said, hey, let's come together and fast and pray about this. It's amazing what fasting and prayer will do to break a stronghold. You have a situation with a wayward son or daughter, wayward grandson or granddaughter. What about fasting and praying? What about getting some other people together with you, some trusted friends? Maybe they also have the same situation and say, hey, let's come together and fast and pray. You know, Esther said to Mordecai, I and my maidens are going to fast, and you get the other people outside the palace to fast and pray and seek God's face. That's what Bill Bright said. Hey, what if we began to fast and pray for God to bring revival to America? What if we joined our hearts in prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord's face? That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be taking your calls when we come back. 888-589-8840. Give me a call. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the issue of fasting. If you want to turn up your Christian life, if you want to turn it up a notch, get in the fast lane, so to speak. You know, when we drive, we have the slower traffic, keep right. You have it on a two-lane highway. You have the slow lane and the fast lane. And so fasting will put your Christian life in the fast lane. And we need to incorporate that, I believe, I'm talking to myself, incorporate that into our lives. Now, the Pharisees fasted twice a week, Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee and the publican go up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee prayed thus to himself, a very telling little statement there, because his prayers weren't getting any higher than the light bulb. But he was praying to himself, and he mentioned in his prayer that he fasts twice a week. They would fast, one commentary said they fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Well, that's not a bad thing. just praying and studying the scripture as they did, definitely not a bad thing, but their hearts were wrong. They were doing it all for the wrong reasons. So motive matters. So it's not just what you do, it's why you do what you do. And I love this. This came out in the Warren Wiersbe commentary. He says, but when you fast, anoint your head. This is Matthew 6:17. Anoint your head, wash your face. Don't put on a gloomy face. Don't look haggard like, oh, I've been fasting, it's just been so terrible. Anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. This is what Warren Wiersbe said. I love it. He said this, the most important part of a Christian's life is the part that only God sees. It's the secret part. When reputation becomes more important than character, we have become hypocrites. Man, that's convicting, a convicting statement, because a lot of us are very cognizant of people seeing us. And so we want to look the part. But hey, reputation can't become more important than character. Our character is what matters. That's what God sees. God sees the secret place. And when we're in the secret place, not to be noticed by men, but to get a hold of the heart of God, that's when God pours out his blessings. That's when God moves. And that's what moves the heart of God, because that tells God, hey, God, what I care about is you. Now, I don't care about what other people think of me. I care about what you think of me. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment about fasting, I'd love to hear from you. And so we have our friend Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning again, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for addressing the issue, which I think is vitally important in this day and age in particular that we live in. I have a question for you, Pastor Jeff. When we see fasting in the scripture, it seems like they're confronted with dire situations, and that seems to be when fasting really comes to the forefront. And so in terms of fasting and praying in the will of God, in terms of the dire situations we face now, what would you see as preeminent in terms of the need that we need to address in this day and age, and where we are even in an eschatological sense?
Yeah, well, I think that as we get, I think eschatologically, we're closer and closer, obviously, to, you know, every day we're closer to the return of the Lord. But as we see America fall apart, as we see churches that were once solid on the truth and they're not solid anymore, and we see pastors wavering, and as I had Kirby Anderson in the studio on Tuesday, he was talking about pastors needing courage. And when the Lord lists in Revelation 21, the people in hell, but for the cowardly, they're listed first, the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons, the cowardly. And so praying for men to stand up and for Christians to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. And I think too, Obi, just for ourselves, that we would really be walking in the light in those secret places and bringing those secret places to the Lord. It is so true that we all struggle with something, whether it's worry or whether it's lust or whether it's greed or whether it's bitterness or whether it's jealousy. Hebrews 12:1 says the sins which so easily entangle us. There's always something that becomes an Achilles heel for us. And so I think adding fasting as you pray about those things, so I don't keep falling into the same sin, same sin, same sin, same sin. And as the devil builds a stronghold, I think in our school systems, for moms and dads to fast and pray for their kids and for their grandkids, and as we fast and pray for our church to make a difference in the community and beyond. Obviously, our situation, as I started the program off with, there's so many issues in America that are devastating, that are bringing the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness for those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We're living in a world that is just swimming in lies, and people just suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And for us to pray that God would break the lies with the truth, and that people would come out of the ether and recognize that God is God. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, one of the things that is mentioned over and over and over and over again, then they will know that I am the Lord. I think that's a good thing to fast and pray, Lord, that the people in America would know that you are the Lord, that you are in control, that this world belongs to you. So I see those things. Obviously, the southern border issue is a huge issue, and that is going to, you know, you reap what you sow. You can't let in all these people and expect that there not be repercussions from that. There will be, with death, I think, with terrorist attacks and other terrible, horrible things that will come. So in my mind, Obi, those are just some of the things that come to the forefront, the transgenderism and how we are destroying young lives. If we can't kill them before they're born, we want to destroy them soon after they're born. Election 2024, you know, you always hear this is the most important election in our lifetime. And it's probably true as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. Every election is really, really critical, and praying for fair elections. That's a big concern of mine. So those are some of the things that come to the forefront of my mind. How about with you?
Well, I think the first one that you mentioned really seems to come to the forefront in my mind, Pastor Jeff, is that Lord would raise up men and women of boldness to stand where the truth is at and be unwavering and unshakable in terms of, you know, this is not only a national problem we're dealing with, it's an international problem. And we really need to see that the truth, no matter if it's received or not, it needs to be spilled out into this culture, and that God would be so gracious to open some eyes that they would indeed see the truth as found in Jesus. So I guess that would be my primary concern, Pastor Jeff, but certainly there's a whole bunch of other concerns such as you've mentioned.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for parents and grandparents, fasting as a part of their lives, you know, not just, hey, once every 3 or 4 years if some disaster strikes, then I'm going to fast, but to fast and pray for their children, for their grandchildren. You know, it is so much harder raising kids today than it was a generation ago, because the temptations are just, they're just all around. And schools used to be places, public schools, where you could kind of trust that they were just being taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. No longer. They're being indoctrinated in those schools, in many of them, not all of them, but in many of them. And so parents need to really be on guard and need to be praying for their kids, praying that God would build a hedge of protection around their children. We're reading in staff a book, the brand new book by George Barna, and he talks about, hey, the statistics show by the age of 13, a person's worldview is set. And we went around in staff meeting yesterday, and we talked about how many people in this room were saved before the age of 20. And it was about, I think there were 15 or so of us around the table. Every single hand went up. You have a lot of people that get saved after, you know, they're adults, but the vast majority get saved early in life. And so we need to do all we can with our kids, with our grandkids, with our great-grandkids, to pray for them that God would open their hearts so that they would see that Jesus is Lord, that see that they're sinners in need of a Savior, and put their faith and trust in Jesus alone. Well, God bless you, Obi. I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for listening to the program. We have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Dennis, are you there? All right, we'll come come back to Dennis. I have on the screen here that he was talking about being a diabetic and having to be on insulin, so fasting is a concern. Yes, not everybody can do that because of health issues, and I had mentioned that. So if you if that's your issue and you have medication that you need to take with food and that kind of thing, then maybe you can fast from sweets, or maybe you can fast from technology fast, a television fast. It's anything. You're denying the flesh of things so that you can focus in on spiritual things, and so that would work also. We have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call in and thank you for bringing up fasting. I've been part of a mode of thinking that's been trying to rediscover the aspects of the Bible that have been missing from ordinary Christian practice. Such as observing the feasts and fasting. And really, the Bible even touches on aspects of how we're to govern ourselves civilly and how we're to deal with each other in business. And those are all aspects that have really fallen by the wayside, the practical walking out of biblical scripture. And I'm very happy to hear it being brought back up.
Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. And yeah, you're right, Steve. You know, a lot of things that we long for in the Christian life, we want our lives to count. We want, as Christians, we want to please the Lord, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and please Him in all respects. We definitely want to pass on the faith to the next generation. We want our children and our grandchildren to love the Lord and walk in His ways. But sometimes we miss the fact that, hey, prayer by itself, prayer is key, obviously, but when you fast and pray, that's like getting a turbocharger to your prayers, and God notices that. I thought this was an interesting scripture in Acts chapter 13. It's the call of Barnabas and Saul, and it says, Acts 13 verse 2, "And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And that was the first missionary journey with Barnabas and Saul. But it came about as a result of fasting and prayer and ministering to the Lord and seeking the Lord. And verse 2 makes it sound like they were just doing that as they sensed that God was up to something, and so they were going to fast and really seek the Lord. So I think that is something that if we sink our teeth into that, we will see God do great things in our lives and draw us closer to the Lord, and we'll see a renewed, it's almost like as the scripture talks about times of refreshing, Acts 3:19, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So I'm challenging myself, my church, my listeners to, hey, start making fasting a regular part of your life, your week, your month, however the Lord leads you. And do it from a right heart and see what God does in response. See how your heart gets more in tune with Him, because it's easy to become a Martha, Luke 10, be distracted with all your preparations, with all the things that you have to do, that I have to do, that we have to do, and you forget that the main thing, Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her, to sit at His feet and to listen to His word and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things that we worry about, all these things, Jesus said, will be added to you. God bless you, my brother. I appreciate you calling in. Well, we have been talking about fasting today, and I encourage you to read what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 6. When you fast, fast for the right reasons, fast for from a right heart, and may my motivation be for the Lord's glory and for God to do great and mighty things in our midst. Hey, our world is falling apart all around us. It's just true. In the last days, difficult times will come, but you and I can make a difference. We're on the earth for such a time as this, to make a difference, to be the Lord's witnesses and to be salt and light in a lost and dying world, to point men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus, who is mighty to save. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm out at a funeral tomorrow, but I believe Alex McFarland will be taking my place, and I'll be with you again on Monday. Go out, shine, and share, and God will use you. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.